hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So gather round, now gather round, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. Well, because South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you would like to weigh in anything we're talking about. Joining us now, as I've been saying all throughout this program this morning, State Representative Shade Stringer of Citronelle. Always glad to bring him on. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Before we get into the hot topic of the day, kind of watching what was going on last night, as he wound the legislative year down to sunny day, should we have been surprised by the way that unfolded, or was that to be expected?
I was kind of shocked. I didn't expect it to go that way. I thought that it would have been maybe a little more of a smooth process, and maybe we could have got a little more accomplished, but, you know, I guess you just never know what's going to happen in Montgomery.
Yeah, that's for sure. I didn't expect a lot of things to get accomplished on the last day. There's always some a level of expectations that are probably a little too high, and then you don't quite get there. But, man, I tell you, just watching some of the things going on last night, it wasn't necessarily a lot of behavior becoming of a legislative chamber you would expect, I would say.
Yeah, it was very disappointing. You hate to see when, you know, we can have differences and disagreements, but some of the behavior that we seen last night was just really unprofessional and not what, you know, I would expect you would have been out of legislators and professional people.
Yeah, and I didn't see it on the feed, but I guess Wanda Lingavon, your colleague, a Democrat from Birmingham, she had let's just say some impolite gestures display toward the chamber.
I'll say she gets very passionate. She can be very shocking at times with some of her actions, but you know, she just, I guess, you know, is passionate in what she's doing and is who she is. So, you know, we're just have to try to make the best of the situation that we go through up there.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one way to look at it. Let's move on to the news of the day. First time you've been able you've been on this program, or on these airwaves, I would say, dealing with your termination of employment from the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. We know what happened there. We discussed it ad nauseum, but from your perspective, kind of give us your side of the story, if you could.
Well, you know, whenever I ran for office or before I ran, I checked with the Attorney General's office on my position as a chief of police. Even though the legislator is a part-time position, there are certain positions you cannot hold. And after talking with him, he believed that chief of police was one of those positions. So I reached out to Sheriff Cochran and told him the situation. And he told me that if I won and I wanted to come back, he would be glad to have me. And so I did win. I did go back, left the city of Satsuma as the chief. I went back to the sheriff's department as a captain over the city of Sims. The city of Sims contracts with the sheriff's department. I supervise around 20 employees, up and down a few as people leave and come. I run a daily operation with the sheriff's department in Sims, operation and keeping up with that. You know, it just, have been smooth sailing. The sheriff and I have been friends a long time. We agree probably 99% of the time. I've supported him in every endeavor that he's ever done, including trying to support him with some of their interest in Montgomery. I have started, you know, we've been having conversations for 3 years about constitutional carry. I've told him time and time and time and time again that I represent approximately 43,000 people in my district and that We've done polls. The polls are saying that 70% of the people want constitution carry. I've told him that it's coming, that we're going to pass it. He said he understood that they had kicked the can down the road as long as they could. You know, we've talked about safety issues. I've done my homework. I've reached out to sheriffs in three different states, Arizona, Arkansas, and Mississippi, that have constitution carry. They have told me that the crime didn't go up. I even had one tell me the crime went down, and that the pistol permit sales only dropped a little. I shared this information with Sheriff Cochran. I've been talking with him. You know, basically, you know, I've kept him up to date on everything that was going on. I informed him this year that I was dropping a constitution carry bill. There was already two. There's one in the Senate, one in the House, and I didn't really agree 100% with both of them. And I drafted one similar to what Arizona has, which is very short and simple and addresses the issues. And I told him that I was following it, and he didn't. He just wasn't a whole lot of conversation there. And I thought everything was fine until this last Wednesday when I was called in and basically told that he did not like that, and, you know, and that he was going to terminate me. And, you know, and I guess the hardest part of all of this is being terminated by somebody I've looked up to my whole career, somebody I called a friend, somebody that I, you know, I thought we were friends. You know, I've tried to, you know, after the termination, I was trying to keep it on the down low and not really make a big deal of it, and trying to wrap my brain around all of this and just trying to see where we were. And, you know, and then the next thing I know that he's done a press release basically saying that he's terminated me. And I just, from there, I had no choice but to do a press release to come back. You know, he talks about safety issues. 99% of the cops are going to tell you that a $20 piece of plastic is not going to keep them safe. He talks about the second background checks. I mean, that's not going to help. You know, we might as well be real about it. Laws are for law-abiding citizens. I mean, the law-abiding citizens are the ones going buying permits. So, of course, they're not going to be the ones out doing crimes. I mean, so it's very disappointing, you know, it, to say the least, and I just cannot wrap my brain around why it had to go down like this. I mean, why? Because we disagree on one topic, he had to terminate me. You know, we agree on everything. I've supported I've done a lot of pro law enforcement legislation, and including a doxing bill this year to try to prevent our officers from being doxed. I did a bill to prevent officers' public information, like their home address and their vehicle information, from being in public databases where they could be tracked and hurt or harmed. I'm a law enforcement officer to heart. I've been a cop for 30 years. I love my profession. I love what I do. I love helping people. And I'm not going to do anything that's going to put any of them in harm. I mean, we might as well be completely truthful about this. This is about money. This is, you know, he said recently that they have sold roughly 64,000 permits, you know, at $20 a piece. Well, that's close to 1.3 million. 1.2 something. You know, and that's, I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, the Constitution does not say that we have to buy a permit to exercise a right. I mean, it's plain and simple.
Let's back up to something there. Now, my understanding, and this seems to be the case based on my research and just kind of knowing what I know, that you evolved on this issue, that at one point you were not on board with the constitutional carry in practice, at least under the current framework that the state had set up, or each individual county, or what it lack thereof of a framework. Can you address that? Can you address how you went from where you were maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago to where you are today on the constitutional carry issue?
Basically, the way it started out is, you know, you look up to your sheriff, you look up there, the top law enforcement officer in your community, and they're telling all of law enforcement constantly, they are telling you that this is dangerous for law enforcement. This is dangerous for cops. There's going to be cops killed everywhere. And, you know, and then so I started evaluating all this and looking into it. And the more I look into it, you know, not the first cop that I know of has been killed by somebody that had a pistol permit, or matter of fact, not even had a legal gun. Most of them are stolen guns. You know, and I got to doing research on it, and that's when I reached out to these sheriffs in these other states and talked to them. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let's see what the cause and effect is in states that already have it. And you talk to them, and they're like, nothing really. You know, the biggest thing, we had to come up with a reason to arrest maybe a bad guy at 3 a.m. on something other than no pistol permit. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's not an officer safety issue whatsoever. It's not. This is a money issue all day long. And everybody sees that. I mean, it's just sad that it's, you know, we're willing to give up our constitutional rights for, you know, as they call it, extra safety, but it's not.
Well, let me ask you about this. Now, Sheriff Cocker was on with Sean Sullivan yesterday. And he said that the position you were in was a political appointment. Well, he described it as, I guess, a pseudo political appointment, and that, you know, as a team member, there was an expectation for you to be on the same page as him on certain issues, and by supporting this, you are defying that principle. Whatever, the team was on the same page. And were you ever given that expectation that you needed to take a certain position on any issue, including this issue, constitutional carry, to fill that position?
No. I mean, when I was hired, I'm a certified law enforcement officer. I've been a law enforcement officer for 30 years. I am a gun-carrying, badge-toting police officer. I work an area. I respond to calls with my guys and gals. I work with them. That has never been an expectation. And if he thought for any second that he was hiring me, going to provide me a job to be a yes vote or to be a vote for him, then that couldn't happen. Now, I do understand his, you know, if he don't want me on there, he could have very easily called me in and said, look, you know, this just is not working out. I would like for you to find another job or resign. And I would have been gladly to do that. I understand where he's, you know, if he wants somebody on there that's going to support him and all. But the fact of the matter is, it's a sad day when a person loses their job over over one disagreement, over one issue, you know, and I think it sets a bad precedent for other legislators. You know, in other words, if other legislators that have jobs, if they don't vote the way their boss wants them to, they can terminate them. And so basically, one boss, one person can control their vote if they want to keep feeding their family.
Representative, the next question here, what does this for your future? Can you kind of give us an update on that? Are you considering a run for another office or reelection, or maybe run for sheriff? Are any of those discussions underway?
No, I mean, my family and I are in shock right now. I mean, this has been very traumatic for us. You know, I have 5 children at home I have to take care of, and all of this being in the news and being everywhere has been very traumatic for them, for their friends talking about it. You know, so really hadn't been a whole lot of conversation in that area. My next step is to find another job and to work on doing that, and then I'll start evaluating. But I'll say this, I love what I'm doing. I love Montgomery, and I love helping people. I love people. So, you know, I'm definitely going to stay in public service and doing something, and I guess I'll just let God put me where he wants me. I mean, the doors will open up to where he wants me to be.
Well, and we'll keep an eye out on that, but I guess the last question here before we have to let you go up against a break, but do you foresee, you know, amending offenses here? Do you, you know, would do you, have you thought about that? You guys go way back that you and the sheriff would kind of bridge your differences.
I don't know. I guess that's in his court. You know, like you said, we do go way back. We are, you know, well, I thought we were friends. You know, and I explained that to him. I said, you know, friends don't make irrational decisions. You know, they think things out and talk things out. And that was, you know, kind of disappointing that we wasn't allowed to or able to talk it out. You know, basically it was just, this is what it is and move on. I don't know. I hope so. You know, we'll see. I'm not sure. I mean, there's so much damage that's been done now, you know, and I'm not the type of person to hold hard feelings, but, you know, there's just a lot of emotional people in our community right now over this situation.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it for sure. Representative, we got to get out of here, get to break, but thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and y'all have a blessed day.
You do the same. State Representative Shade Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.